Light Between Oceans by M.L. Stedman, read by Noah Taylor. Once he's extinguished the light at sunrise each morning, Tom sets off to explore another part of his new territory before getting on with the day's work. The northern side of the island is a sheer granite cliff which sets its jaw stiffly against the ocean below. The land slopes down towards the south and slides gently under the water of the shallow lagoon. Besides its little beach is the water wheel, which carries fresh water from the spring up to the cottage. From the mainland, all the way out along the ocean floor to the island and beyond, there are fissures from which fresh water springs mysteriously. When the French described the phenomenon in the 18th century, it was dismissed as a myth. But sure enough, fresh water was to be found, even in various parts of the ocean, like a magic trick played by nature. He begins to shape his routine. Regulations require that each Sunday he hoists the ensign, and he does, first thing. He raises it too when any man of war, as the rules put it, passes the island. He knows keepers who swear under their breath at the obligation, but Tom takes comfort from the orderliness of it. It is a luxury to do something that serves no practical purpose. The luxury of civilization. He sets about fixing things that have fallen into disrepair since the decline of Trimble Docherty. Most important is the lighthouse itself, which needs putty and the astragals of the lantern glazing. Next he gets rotten stone and sands the wood on the desk drawer where it is swollen with the weather, and goes over it with a wolf's head brush. He patches the green paint on the landings where it is scuffed or worn away. It will be a long while before a crew comes to paint the whole station. The apparatus responds to his attention. The glass gleams, the brass shines, and the light rotates on its bath of mercury as smoothly as a skewer, gliding on currents of air. Now and again he manages to get down to the rocks to fish, or walk along the sandy beach of the lagoon. He makes friends with a pair of black skinks which reside in the woodshed, and occasionally gives them some of the chook's food. He's sparing with his rations. He won't see the store bait for months. It's a hard job, and a busy one. The lightkeepers have no union, not like the men on the store boats. No one strikes for better pay or conditions. The days can leave him exhausted or sore, worried by the look of a storm front coming in at a gallop, or frustrated by the way hailstones crush the vegetable patch. But if he doesn't think about it too hard, he knows who he is and what he's for. He just has to keep the light burning, nothing more. The Father Christmas face, all red cheeks and whiskers, gave a big grin. "Well, Tom Sherborne, how are you surviving?" Ralph didn't wait for a reply before throwing him the fat, wet rope to wind around the bollard. Tom looked as fit and well after 3 months as any keeper the skipper had seen.